want to set the stage for Pentecost because this is the birthday of the church. And we need to understand what the birthday of the church really means. And I think we're living in some interesting times. So Luke 24, beginning with verse 40, says, "And when they had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still, could not believe it, for the joy they had inside and amazement, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' They said, 'We have a piece of broiled fish.' And he said, he took it and he ate it in front of their eyes. Now he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, and all things which are written about me in the law and Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in my name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth a promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.' And he left them, led them as far out as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into the heavens. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God." That's the message. Jesus said, all the things that are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms about me had to be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understanding. And that's what happens to us when we accept Christ as our Savior. Our minds are opened to a whole new way of living, a whole new way of life. And then as they were there in Jerusalem and they were watching him, he lifted up into the sky and he ascended into heaven. Father, we just thank you and praise you that we can pause in this moment and join those disciples in just worshiping and praising you. I ask, Lord, that you allow your Holy Spirit to temper our hearts this morning. To join in the reality, Lord, that all around the world, when we should be celebrating, the turmoil, Lord, seems to get all the news. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to separate ourselves from the world and just worship you. Right now, I wanted to have a time of sharing real quick, okay? And what I'd like to do is I just want you to know that we've been through a lot these last 2 or 3 months as fear kind of spread like a virus, and the virus spread like a virus and started overtaking and hitting some of our bigger cities and taking out a lot of our seniors. And even, I don't think we have anybody really locally yet, but praise the Lord for that. But we've also had, during this time, a lot of political unrest because we're getting ready for a presidential campaign. And it's kind of hard to come together and celebrate when you know on the streets of America, they're rioting in the streets because of a cruel death where a policeman choked a victim. And then they had the gall on all the media to show it over and over and over. So not only did it happen, we saw it happen. And now the people are rioting to get, protesting to get justice, but the protesting has turned into rioting. What are we coming to in America, guys? And the only answer for that kind of injustice and problem is the love of Jesus Christ. We need to love everybody, guys. That's the answer. And we've got to return love even when it's not given. And so therefore, I think Pentecost is a time of repentance and coming before the Lord. But when we do that, when we submit ourselves like that, His Holy Spirit comes and He answers some of our requests. I asked someone to share their testimony this morning, who that happened to. She shared it with me, and I asked permission to share it with you. She had told me that she had prayed and wondered why she didn't see some of the visions or hear the message of the Lord like everybody else. She says, I pray and I listen and I pray, but nothing ever happens. And so she said she was sitting on her couch. I'm going to let her tell the story from there. That person is Kim Vose. You'll see her. She's out here usually weeding the plants or has a little doggy with her. And she told me that nothing ever happened to her. But it did as she was praying. Listen.
It was the end of March when I had gotten finished doing my morning devotional. And normally I just kind of sit on the sofa and try to reflect on what I read. But this time I laid down for some reason. And I was asking God to kind of show me the Holy Spirit, share the Holy Spirit with me. I don't often feel like I have that experience like other people have had. And at that point, my mind switched to something that you had said, Pastor Steve. I think it was in the Bible study on Wednesday night, about a portal between heaven and earth that the angels use to interact with our planet. And at the very moment that I thought of that, what you had told us, I had a vision, and it was of thousands and thousands of angels pouring out of heaven and into earth, and they were surrounding the earth. And it was so, the earth was encased in darkness, and the angels were surrounding the darkness that was covering the earth. And through the vision, you could see they were not frantic. They were very purposeful. They were fighting. They were fighting a battle for the earth. And I waited to see if there was going to be anything more to the vision, and there wasn't. That was it. And as I started to write to you, I became incredibly filled with sorrow. And I realized the sorrow was I was seeing these angels who were fighting for mankind, and they were fighting for people who didn't believe in them, who mocked them, who weren't even aware that they were there, and they were really engaged in a battle for humankind. And it just broke my heart. It just really did break my heart that they were fighting so hard for us, and most of us weren't even aware of what they were doing to help us. And I believe it was the coronavirus and the pandemic that was surrounding the earth, and the fear, that the blackness seemed like fear to me, and the angels were really trying to battle that fear. And so that was my vision.
I know. When you told me that, it really touched my heart, too, because that's what I've seen about this coronavirus is worse than the virus itself is the fear that it's caused people to have. And so fear can stop anything. And we've got to overcome that fear. And I think those angels, that's what they wanted to do, is to kind of tackle that fear so that, mm-hmm. Maybe the planet can get back to loving him and embracing him like we should. Thank you very, very much for sharing that. That's really touched my heart. And one thing that really touched my heart is that you were the one that had that vision. Because, that was a definite answer of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that, too. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Amen. She's here this morning with us. She's out in the car out there. So with Michael, they have to be very careful because of their jobs. They need to be not around anything that can cause them to not doing their, especially Michael with his job. But they're here with us this morning, and she can verify. But one of the things she said to me when she told me the dream is that she was so shocked that she had the vision that she opened her eyes and looked around. Everything was normal, and she closed her eyes and she saw it again. She saw it still happening. And it just verified inside her heart that it was real. And I believe that's what we're seeing right now. The angel, God's pouring out his angels right now on this planet. There is something happening right now. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But does anyone else have something burning on your heart that you'd like to share with us? Well, guess what? There's one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. There's one name under heaven whereby we can overcome everything that's going on in this planet. Everything. And that name is Jesus. Amen. And my heart's prayer for the longest time that we just have our supernatural experience with Jesus. They just come. I believe in the prophetic word, don't you?
Yes.
I believe in the prophetic word, don't you?
Yes.
I think God has a word for us. I'm going to have a seat right now. I'm going to ask Mary Lee if she'll come forward. Mary Lee, every time I've talked to her, it seems like in the last month or two, it's almost like she's been trying to get a message through to me, because she tells me a similar kind of feeling that's on her heart. And I was praying about that, and I thought, that wasn't for me, that was for us. And so I want her to come and share that with you right now.
So Pastor Steve called me yesterday morning and asked me if the Lord had given me a word. I didn't hear anything audible, but over the last several weeks, a few words starting with the letter R kept coming through my mind. So at the beginning of the quarantine, I started doing what probably many of you did, cleaning out closets, drawers, shelves. And you know what I got rid of? I got rid of unwanted stuff. Unwanted stuff. So the word was repentance. He's calling us to get rid of unwanted stuff, aka sin. It comes in various ways. It's unique for each one of us. We are saved. We have the Holy Spirit. Yet he's calling us for this time, this day. Something's happening. There's a whole change in the paradigm. It's not going to be normal anymore. He wants to be our Lord. He's calling us. So if you want to offer that opportunity, that would be awesome.
Amen. Well, how many of you have unwanted stuff? It's time to clean house. This is the house of the Lord, not this, but this, your bodies. And it's time to let go of some stuff, isn't it? I mean, I know I've got stuff to get rid of. You can go into my office and you find stuff. You go into my bedroom and find stuff. You go into some of our closets, and I shouldn't tell you this because Carol will get mad at me, but there's stuff. You go in our basement. You go in our little shed out back. You go in the barn on the other side of the pond. There's stuff. There's more stuff than I know what to do with. But we also have stuff in here. So as Mary Lee received that word, it was conviction for me. I think it's conviction for all of us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's repent, then our God will hear from heaven. So first we have to come humbly. To come humbly, we have to say, God, I need you. We have to admit that we can't do it on our own. We got to admit that the government can't do it, or the CDC can't do it. We can't do it. We have to repent and say, God, I need you. We need you. If we'll humble ourselves and pray, that's what fasting and prayer is all about, sacrificial prayer. Sacrificial prayer is giving up on yourself and praying. It's been like that for me all morning this morning. Now it's time for me to do a little bit of repenting in front of you. I called you to a 3-day fast. On the first day of my fast, which was Thursday, in the morning I got up and I thought, well, I'm not going to be eating like I normally eat. So I didn't take my normal blood sugar medicine because I knew it would make my blood sugar drop. And I had scrambled eggs and sausage for breakfast. I had no breads or pastas or anything like that. I did the same thing for a snack and for lunch. And about 1 o'clock, my blood sugar started dropping. I started dropping further and further. It got down to 52. And I thought, I can't do this. I told myself I wouldn't need any sugar, I wouldn't need any starch, I wouldn't need anything, but I can't let it keep dropping. And so right off the bat, about 1 o'clock or 1:30, I started eating. It took me an hour of eating stuff that I shouldn't have been eating on a fast to get my blood sugar back up to 95. And the spirit of failure fell over me. I thought, how can I call everybody to a fast that I can't do it? And it's been a hound on me for the last 3 days. This old, getting old stuff has gotten way too old for me. I'm only 65 years old, and I feel like I'm 90. And people have prayed for me, and they've laid hands on me. And I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do, Lord? The message is, get rid of your stuff. Repent. Repent that trying to do it on my own. And just try to relax and let him do it. So, I'm repenting in front of you because I have to. I need you to know that I'm struggling. Not because I don't trust in the Lord, because I do with all my heart. And when it comes to this morning, I've felt his spirit all morning long. Every time I turn around, I start crying. For no reason. So I know he's doing something. But I think what that's telling me is, it's okay, Steve. I'm still with you, Steve. You don't have to do anything for me to be here. I want that for all of us. I want us all to be able to come together on Pentecost Sunday and feel the Holy Spirit's presence in one way or another. Maybe it's in the singing. Maybe it's in the prayers. Maybe it's in the surrender. And we're going to do the surrender in a few minutes. But the power of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost is because we're together, socially distinct, but we're together in Jesus' name. You know what the issue for me is? We're socially distancing, but that's not the call of the church. That's not where we're supposed to be. It says the scripture of Pentecost, Peter described this day like this. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be dark, turned to darkness, and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus just told them that the prophecy was coming true at Pentecost. Carol said that she just suddenly realized this morning when she was getting ready for this that Pentecost was actually a feast that they celebrated, she thought it, they named this Pentecost because it was, you know, the birthday of the church. But it was the Feast of Weeks, so many weeks since Passover to the Feast of Pentecost. And so that's why when they went outside after they got filled with the Spirit, people from all the different kind of nations were all gathered around them, the Parthians and the Greeks and the Romans. They were all there because people came from all these different countries to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Weeks. And so it was 9 o'clock in the morning when they come flying out of the upper room, dancing in the Holy Spirit, whooping and hollering and happy and joyous. And tongues of fire were dancing on their heads. As they talked, people heard their own language, even though they weren't speaking their language. And some people became scoffers and said, "These guys are drunk." Peter stands, "No, it's only the third hour of the day. Third hour, they start their day at sunrise, so it would be about 6, 3 hours would be about 9 a.m. The sixth hour of the day is noon. Ninth hour of the day is 3 in the afternoon. That, whenever you read the scripture, that's how you would tell time, okay? So that's the way it's listed in the New Testament. So it's 9 o'clock in the morning, just a little earlier than what we have right now. And they're whooping and hollering just like you were just a second ago on one day. When we sing the praise of the Lord, we join in the spirit of Pentecost. And we have hope. Hebrews 20, verses 12 through 29 says, "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For those who did not escape when they refused him who were warned upon the earth, much less we will escape who turn away from him who warns us from heaven." And his voice shook the earth. And now he has promised, saying, "Yet once more will I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." This expression, "yet once more," denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Now he says he's going to remove the things that can be shaken so that the things that cannot be shaken will become observable. Guys, you are that which cannot be shaken. You are the kingdom of God. You are the ones who are to love when there's nothing but hate all around you, and racism, and mistrust, and politics, and lying, and cheating, and stealing, and stabbing, and throwing bombs. Don't you dare join in with that. You are that which cannot be shaken. He's shaken all the earth so that his people can rise up and shine. This is our time to shine. Not our time to hide under a bushel basket. No. It's our time to rise and shine and give God the glory. And then the whole world knows that we believe. That we really do believe this is the Word of God. I've pondered our state of being, I guess you could say, as I've had a lot of time in this building by myself. And it aches me when I read that we're supposed to embrace each other. We're supposed to be the ones that have a shoulder to cry on. We're the ones to give lay on hands for healing and touch people. And we are the people who are supposed to be socially interacting for the kingdom of God. And whenever two or three of us are gathered in his name, his spirit's going to be right there. And yet we run and hide. And why do we run and hide? For fear. For fear. Now, I'm not telling you not to run and hide. Don't get me wrong. I'm still trying to assess what this means. Because I've gone very little places at all. I've gone from my house to here, from here to my house, from my house to here, from here to McDonald's, drive-thru. So I don't want this virus any more than anybody else. And according to my wife, I'm one of the most vulnerable people in the community. I get everything. So, what am I supposed to do, Lord? How am I supposed to shine in the midst of what's going on? Well, he told me about 4 weeks ago, before anybody was saying that we were only having less than 10 gathering any place at all, he told me 4 weeks ago that Pentecost Sunday we would be back together. So I sat at the kitchen table about 3 weeks ago on a Sunday afternoon. It might have been Mother's Day. I think it was Mother's Day. And we were at the dining room table, and my family was gathered around the table, including my new daughter-in-law, who is a nurse. I'm not a nurse, but she's a pharmacist for oncology in Columbus. And lo and behold, they're all saying, "What do you think you're doing, Steve? Talking about getting back together in the church." None of them around that table. And my son said, "You're going to die, Dad." I mean, that's the language they used. I said, "You're going to die, Dad." Amen. I'm not afraid of dying, guys. And I'm not afraid to live either. So let's just hang on. Listen to your heart. And allow God to guide you. It reminds me of Jesus and those lepers. And that leper colony came up. And Jesus started to go over to them to hug them. The disciples said, "No, don't hug them, don't hug them. No, 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 don't you realize they're lepers, you can't do that." And Jesus hugged them anyway. So I'm not saying I won't get the virus. What I'm saying is, I am the Lord's, and my life is in His hands, not some silly virus or the government. Not anybody. Just the Lord. And so therefore, I want to stand before you and to say, my God is in control. And to me, that's the meaning and the depth of Pentecost. My God is in control. The Lord telling us that ours is the kingdom. He embraces our praises as we seek to embrace Him. That's what God is all about. Amen. I got to a point where I was shaking, and I've never shook before like that. That's the hope that we have in Jesus. I want to give you a chance for ministry time here. If you are needing healing in your bodies, if you are needing healing and you're willing to be hands laid on you, that's okay. If you don't want hands laid on you, that's okay too. We can hover. The Holy Spirit's what needs to touch you, not us.